What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another Friday night. You on Play Caller Sports Talk. And joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. McCain. But we also have a special guest tonight. JJ, Mr. Wizard over here joining us. We're going to be talking a little basketball tonight. Actually, a lot of basketball tonight. We're only going to be talking a little bit of football. So, you know. Of course, y'all know me. My name is Stephen Box, and my co-host down here below. As y'all see, if you're joining us on YouTube, rocking the Eagles hat still.
Yep.
You know they lost. Still
ain't no change but my limp.
Yeah, so, you know, don't get it twisted. That's not how we roll around here. We stay faithful to our teams. So, man, you know, let's just go ahead and have a conversation, man. Let's just get it over with. Let's just go ahead and do the Super Bowl recap. And then it's NBA All-Star tonight. So, cool, man. I'm going to allow you to start the conversation. And just tell us what your thoughts were on the Super Bowl.
So, I thought that it was actually a well-played game. Neither defense showed up much. I felt that the Eagles played a really good game until the last about the last half of the fourth quarter. Then they did what we've done all season, which is they go out and get a lot of points in the first half, and then they kind of fade in the second half. We were playing a team in the Kansas City Chiefs that is the exact opposite of that, a team that you need to continue to score on. I've complained all year about the Eagles not necessarily keeping their foot on the other team's throat. prophetically speaking, unfortunately, that's what happened. We had a drive late in the game where we opted for a field goal. So they're going for it on 4th and 5 against this Kansas City Chiefs team that outscored us in the second half. We just didn't do the things that you need to do to close out a game. I blame a lot of that on the defensive coordinator for not making adjustments. I also do blame Shane Steichen to an extent because he had opportunities to show that he had kahunas. But I think once we found out that he was going to be the head coach in Indianapolis after the game, my level of concern rose quite a bit because that never has worked well in the past. And it didn't work well for us either. So a lot of different things. Obviously, everyone wants to talk about the call. I think I'll let everybody else give their opinions on that first. But I just say that there was a lot of things that we did. The fumble by Hurts. The fact that we were allowed, both of us were allowed to grab and hold the DBs until the very last defining play of the game. Different things like that. So I thought the game for about 55 minutes was refereed pretty fairly. I definitely feel like that last 5 minutes, and I just grouped that off because I don't remember exactly the moment that happened, but I know it was within that last few minutes. Things changed. That's the worst nightmare when you're the team that is on defense in that situation. Mm-hmm. I do also think that we scored too early. I think they allowed us to score, saying, hey, we can get the ball back now. And I think we should have really did a methodical run-first drive. I blame it on my offensive coordinator. Like I said, a lot of things went wrong for us to end up where we're at. But yet and still, all these things that we could look at and say this defense didn't play well. They couldn't keep their footing. I don't see how you can go through a game and there not be any holding calls on the offensive line when the most dominant line, most dominant lines in history just can't get to the quarterback. But, you know, it happened, right? Some people say, oh, you're whining, you're complaining. No, I'm giving an honest observation of what I see and the things I felt like that stopped us from being Super Bowl champions. Now, I will say we had opportunities. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, the penalty did it. The penalty was wrong. It shouldn't have been called. It was a penalty, but according to what they were calling in that game, it shouldn't have been called. You know, just a lot of things that fell off the rails. I can't speak for other people, but I am greatly relieved that both coordinators are gone because I think one didn't have enough balls and I think the other one didn't have enough mental fortitude to make changes. So good luck to those two organizations. Hopefully you have better coordinators with them than they were as coordinators. But, you know, I digress. I think for me, that's the game in a nutshell.
JJ, what are your thoughts?
I definitely understand Cool in a lot of things. He touched on one of the points that I was going to touch on, I think, is that, you know, this defensive line has been widely regarded all season long. I think either they set the record or close to setting the records for the most sacks in a season for a team in NFL history.
Five short.
Okay. You had like three or four players at least have over 10 or 12 sacks or something like that. It was a really record-breaking pace, and you didn't get one sack. And I do agree with him. I was surprised to not see any holdings because I can't fathom having Hargrave, Sue, Reddick, all these other guys that have been destroying lines left and right, not be able to get to the quarterback. I think the Eagles played rather well, and I think Jalen Hurts played rather well. But, you know, I think, you know, when they saw Patrick Mahomes hobble on his ankle a little bit, I think there was a little bit of relief, not from, like, the players in their intensity, but, like, the coaches thinking, like, all right, this is going to be a little bit of a – not as grueling, but this is Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, he's a warrior. The dude's going to come out on one leg if he has to. And I think the biggest thing that I learned from this game is that Patrick Mahomes has evolved to another level that I didn't even think was possible for him, because he adjusts based off the circumstances in the game. You know, so in this case, when his ankle was going down, he just started using the quick passes. He started trying to get things out a lot more. You see McKinnon get into the active game. Juju didn't have too much until that second half. And I think the Eagles have a lot to look forward to, because I think they have that core together. It is going to be interesting to see, because I don't know if it's been announced yet, but what happens with Jason Kelce, you know, because I heard that there's rumors that he may retire after this season.
We do have 21 free agents as well.
So it's going to be a lot to talk about, because a lot of these guys, you guys went all in this year and didn't get a chance to close it out. But I actually thought whoever had the ball last was going to have the chance to win the game. And it just so happened to be Kansas City, because both teams were going to be able to get up and down on each other. It just was a matter of who had the ball last. And I think Philly will be back there. I do think that the way that they've been responding after the game is a little bit different. Not necessarily Cool, because I think Cool made an observation, but I think if you're talking trash and you get beat, you can't really get mad at somebody who is posting memes about a cornerback because of a hold. And then you're responding about things about how you're saying he's not, he didn't impact the game, but he definitely did impact the game to help him get down the field to get to a field goal. But as far as the game, it was a great game.
He impacted Twitter more than TikTok more than he did the game. And that's what was said, and that is true.
Maybe on the overall season, you do have merit, but I think you do have to give him some credit
for making it. You have to give him no credit.
Okay. Fair enough. But you know,
there's two people that we have to give credit to on that team. And that's number 15 and number 87. And the last time I checked, TikTok boy don't wear either one of those numbers.
On that note, I hear you on that one. You know, I'm gonna leave the Juju conversation alone. All right, that's my take. Good game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for the most part, man, if for those of us who were not fans of either team, it was the kind of game you hope for, right? Good back and forth competitive game, and I think it was enjoyable. You know, I'm personally a fan of calling penalties when they happen, regardless of when that happens in the game, right? And I think too many people get caught up in this, you can't call a penalty like that at the end of the game. I think that's nonsense, because if you don't call a penalty when it happens, you're also affecting the outcome of the game, right? So it doesn't matter. Either way, you're affecting the outcome of the game. So make the call if it happens. With that said, though, I'm also a big fan of being consistent in the way you call penalties. And that call was not consistent with the way they called that entire game. So if you actually listen to Brad Beer's comments, it wasn't as straightforward as people think. He actually said, I was hoping they would let it ride. Why would he hope that they were going to let it ride? Because they had been letting it ride the entire game. That's why he thought that they might let it ride.
But I think there should be a bigger issue on that, too.
Yeah, and we've conditioned players, let's be honest, to think that they can get away with that stuff at the end of games.
It's a tactic.
So, to me, I didn't have a problem.
Especially if you've been able to get away with it the whole game.
Yeah, so I didn't have a problem with the call itself, but I did have a problem with the fact that it was not consistent with the way you would call the rest of the game. That I had an issue with.
But to your point, I think this is the problem I have with the whole NFL rules and all, because we say it's a rule, but then we say it's a judgment call. Well, you can't have mix and match. If it's a rule, it's a rule. There's the judgment right there. If it does happen, that's the judgment. Nothing else matters. But when you're letting your emotions dictate and stuff, nobody wants to make the call that ends the game or changes the outcome, but it always seems to happen that way. I think to your point, like, if it's a call, like for me, I've never been someone to blame any games on losses because penalties happen on both sides. I've won games because of penalties that we did, and I've lost games because of penalties that weren't called. But at the end of the day, if it's a rule, it's a call. There's no judgment or nothing, because when you put the judgment in there, you lead to these conversations now about what are we going to do?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. You let a bunch of calls go on both sides earlier in the game. So just allow it continue the way you've been calling the game. Don't change it the last 5 minutes. That's the problem. You know, you look at Twitter. There's a whole cavalcade of professional players from different sports like, oh, man, that's garbage that you made the call. Notice no one said it's garbage that they said it's garbage you made the call. Notice they use that specific wording because you didn't make the call earlier. And that's the thing. If you were calling it earlier, then he would have known, I do that, it's going to be a call. But because you allow many egregious things to happen with that earlier in the game, he felt like, oh, I could probably do it. They won't call it. They did. Oh, man, they called it. It is what it is. Now, there's only one other thing I want to bring up, and then y'all can say whatever else y'all want about the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts was robbed from the MVP. Jalen Hurts was 27 of 38, 304 yards rushing and passing and a touchdown, 15 carries for 70 yards and 3 touchdowns. So this man had a total of 374 yards and 4 touchdowns. And instead, you give the MVP to Patrick Mahomes, who has 182 yards and 3 touchdowns, and then he ran six times for 44 yards. So that's the joke of the NFL. And, you know, people can call it what they want. I do not care. I'm going to be real with it. And the realness is you don't have that kind of performance in the Super Bowl and not get an MVP. I don't care if you're on the losing team. That's garbage. That's trash. And NFL, you knew better.
It's the same deal with how LeBron had let everybody in scoring. But actually, he was MVP but lost to the Golden State Warriors when Iguodala got it. You know what I mean? It's because he was on the winning team. But I do agree. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes.
It's too much of a disparity. LeBron didn't have that disparity in that game over everybody else. He had almost 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's too much of a disparity to not give him his rightful award.
Yeah, but I think
it is what it is.
Yeah.
If you were going to give somebody on the Chiefs the MVP, I mean, honestly, I felt like Pacheco and Kelce had a bigger impact on the outcome of the game than Mahomes himself. But the thing is, it should not be about who is on the winning team. It should be about who was the best player in the Super Bowl. And the best player in that Super Bowl, unquestionably, was Jalen Hurts.
Even with the fumble.
It wasn't even remotely close. But I will say this, to Cool's point earlier about how they really needed that run-heavy drive, that never happened. Jalen Hurts, 15 carries for 70 yards. Every other running back on the team only had 15 carries total. Or 17, excuse me. So all the running backs combined only had 2 more carries than Jalen Hurts.
And the other thing is,
Philly's identity.
Well, we need new running backs, sir. I'm going to be the first one to say it. I love Miles Sanders, but he's not the running back for the way that we play. He was hurt in the Super Bowl. He had to go back and get looked at. They didn't run the ball enough with Gainwell or Scott. Go get the big bowling ball with feet to run the ball. Go find him somewhere else, because at the end of the day, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with what we put out there running back with Jalen Hurts. I love Gainwell. I love Scott, but they're the backups for a reason. Our lead back has not been durable his whole career, and in the biggest moment, we needed him. Unfortunately for him, he was hurt again. That's been something that's been consistent with him throughout his stay. So I don't think we should pay him. I think we should either go get somebody else or draft a running back, a big guy that can take the brunt of the attacks.
You might get a chance to get, well, I was going to say, no, he might, depending on what happened, but Gus the bus, I think, stop. But
he could be our backup.
No, but I think you guys were, it was clear what y'all were trying to do this game. Y'all saw Mahomes, you saw Hurts. It was intent on having the showcase from Hurts, and he showed out.
But that was stupid because that's not the winning formula.
No, I agree because your formula was perfect. Because if you had that silly drive, they might have never qualified for a field goal.
That was the problem. When I saw how fast we scored, I'm gonna say the same thing that AJ Brown said. I watched a whole bunch of interviews. I actually took Monday off work because I wasn't prepared to deal with people or respond to people on Monday. AJ Brown said when we went down and we couldn't get that touchdown and we had to settle for that field goal, that he had this bad feeling in the pit of his stomach. So did I. And if I had the guys I watched the game with here, they would tell you I said it. I was like, that's going to be bad that we could not get a touchdown there. We needed to go back up by 10 points, and then we went back up by 6. They went down and scored. We had to score 2 just to tie the game back up after the touchdown. That's a problem. That's something that you cannot do. You have to burn time. We did a great job of it in the first half. We did a trash job of it in the second half, and that's why we're sitting here talking about us losing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing you pointed out was how there was 0 holding calls against the Chiefs.
That didn't make any sense.
And listen, you know I've been saying this for 3 years now, that I thought it was absolute garbage that there was no holding calls in our Super Bowl against them. I mean, the Nick Bosa one was like blatantly obvious, where he was like in a Bruce Barber beefcake sleeper hold. But outside of that, there was plenty of other holds in that game, and they didn't call any of them. But it is interesting that the 1 year that the Chiefs was getting penalties, every other play against them was when they played
the Tampa
Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady.
Tommy, terrific.
But that speaks to you guys' point right here, and I think the elephant in the room is when people talk about the calls, the missed calls, whatever, they always translate it to the back of who they're going against. And for the last 5 years, we knew who the NFL is trying to push, and more than likely is pushing as the new guy of the league, which is Mahomes, you know, because I do agree. I thought, I was like, it makes no sense that this team can get 4 or 5 sacks on everybody. And
he could not get a
sack or nothing. And I was like, there's no way. I was like, Javon Hargrave is a menace inside. The strength of that team is on the outside, but the inside, like, no, there's no way. And I think, you know, it just, to your point, when those judgment calls came at the last 5 minutes of the game, they were in favor of somebody that many people are feeling like gets whatever he wants. Because there's arguments that the first Super Bowl win against y'all, Damian Williams should have been the MVP of that Super Bowl for his running abilities and being able to keep them to get back in the game. But, you know, I respect Mahomes, but I do think that, you know, as y'all talk, it makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah. It just didn't make sense that this team could dominate everybody and not one hole.
So Billy V says the NFL is not pushing for Mahomes. He's just that good.
No, he definitely is that good, but I think there is a
– Well, Billy, now, I'm going to say to you, they are pushing for Mahomes. The fact that there were no calls tells you that they're pushing for Mahomes. The only year that he suffered duress in the Super Bowl was the year there's nothing they could do to help him because he didn't have a line. So yeah. if you believe that the NFL is not doing everything they can to make Mahomes that poster guy and make sure he gets those signature wins in those Super Bowls when games are tight, then all I can tell you is, man, maybe you need to watch the games again. Just go back and watch all the Chiefs games again, especially in the playoffs. And we talk about the Chiefs and we talk about the Eagles. And the Eagles didn't play anybody, didn't do anything to win. Who did the Chiefs play? The Chiefs played to get to the Super Bowl in the playoffs. Who did they play?
And look, and we had just talked about 2 weeks ago when we were recapping the championship games. We talked about all the questionable calls and the Bengals game.
So this is not a Billy. I know you probably got here a little late. Yeah, the defense was garbage. But their defense was garbage too. And when there came down to a close game, a bad call was made. And anybody that wants to disagree with me, I don't care. Mine is made up. There's nothing you can say that's going to change my mind. You shouldn't have called what you hadn't been calling all game. You let more egregious calls go, and then you get in this situation, you make the call. I'm never going to accept that because that's garbage, and that's the league helping out the Chiefs. It is what it is. The problem the Eagles had was we allowed the game to be close. And I said this before the game. You don't want a close game. You want to go out there and be up by a couple of touchdowns at the end. That last few minutes of the game, the Chiefs were always going to get calls. We know that, right? We're always going to get calls. We had to make sure that we were up enough where it didn't matter. If we would have been up 10 instead of 6. After that, if we would have got a touchdown instead of settling for that soft field goal, then maybe we look at a different game. And let's not forget the punt return. We let them get all the way down, but they didn't see anything about the three blocking in the back calls. One was right in front of the ref.
I think they're not up. They made a comment about that.
But they're not. But they're not helping him, Billy V. Come on, man. The writing's right down the wall, bro.
I'll leave it at this because I know we gotta get to the basketball point. But I was talking to one of my colleagues today about this. I was like, it's clear that with the Mahomes career and where it is at this point, not saying he's going to ever reach that level, but for this generation, he'll be considered the Brady of this generation. You know, he's that guy that's 5 straight NFC championships, 3 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl wins, and 2 Super Bowl MVPs. Now, who is going to be the Peyton Manning? Is it going to be Joe Burrow or Josh Allen? And is it going to be Jalen Hurts, who's going to come in as that other guy? But we know, like, I agree with you. There definitely is Mahomes. We got his wife. We know his wife. We know his brother. We talked to his dad. Like, you know, when you push these things out here, you wanting us to get a more insight on buying in love and this person that it is. And he's great. He's a phenomenal quarterback. No doubt. But it's not going to be the Brady rule anymore. About to become probably the Mahomes rule, because when now that Brady's, if he's officially retired, them calls are going to go to Mahomes, especially now that his ankle has been messed up a couple of times in the last, like this last season. There's going to be some calls coming his way because, you know, you got to keep him, you know, upright.
Yeah, I mean, we could go on and on about all the things that clearly would tell you that the NFL wants Patrick Mahomes to be successful more than anything else. This is not new. It is part of the reason why I was so upset about 2019, because I felt like we got robbed of the last opportunity to be able to go beat this team straight up. If you want to beat the Chiefs going forward, you cannot even allow them to be within a touchdown. You had to go out there and beat the brakes off of them if you want to beat them.
Keep scoring. Just keep scoring.
Yep. And yeah, you have a point if you're talking about last offseason. But by the time we got 4 or 5 weeks into the season,
yep,
it was already, oh, Mahomes.
They're doing better than without Tyreek Hill. They're already 10 times better as an offense. Like, it was been decided.
Yeah, and look, here's the question for you. Did the media really believe that Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be good without Hill, or did that just make for good storylines?
I think that one of people...
Wanted people to doubt him so then they could talk about, oh, he came back and he's so great. And I think that's what you were about to say as well, JJ.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that I think all the naysayers, and I see a lot, because anybody that has a quarterback that has kind of been like in the same tier of him, I think it was like, or like on the same conference, I think it was trying to have a lot of naysayers be like, well, now Hill's gone. How's he going to look? I even had questions about how this offense looked, but it showed me that he has been able to evolve. But 5 or 6 weeks in, when they're at the top of the standings, that whole Hill's gone is out the door. That was out the door a long time ago. That was out the door.
This dude is so hyped. The Eric Bieniemy had to go take the offensive coordinator job with the Commanders.
At the Commander.
And
he can call plays and prove that he can actually be a good offensive coordinator without Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
And you know what's interesting about that as well? He also got the title of assistant coach, assistant head coach, which he didn't have, and he got a pay raise. He had to do all these things. This is what he had to do to go to try to be a head coach. But other guys that have been an offensive coordinator there, Doug Peterson, among others, have to go through that. They didn't have to go through that. So you know what?
Yeah.
It's okay. Congratulations, Eric Bieniemy. I think you made the right move. You went to a team that's one quarterback away, and there's a guy out there in free agency in Derek Carr that you can plug right in, use him for a couple of years while you wait.
Until the quarterback.
Possibly Sam Howell to evolve, because Sam Howell's not ready to be a every down quarterback yet, but you can go out and get a guy that's, I think, ready to help a team that has as many weapons as this win.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out, but you know, just an option there.
I'm sure as an Eagles fan, you would not be upset if they don't do that, though.
Oh, I'll be fine with it, sir. I'll be fine with it. Because here's the thing. Whether we win a division or whether we are a wild card, we get back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once we get back there, it's going to be a lot of memories of this year coming into the people who were on this team this year's mind. So I definitely expect another deep run next year. But, yeah, for now, got to take the L on the chin. You know, all the trash talk from all the teams that were worse than us. They want to say, oh, you know, whatever, whatever, cry Eagles, cry, and all those things. Hey, bring all the smoke, bring all the hate, just be real. Hey. I had one guy, he tried to tell a lie. You know, he tried to lie. So I was like, oh, no, we're not going to do the lies. All the truth you want to tell, we good. You try to tell lies, that's when I have to come for you. And don't make me come for you. And don't ever call for me. That's just a general rule of thumb.
So speaking of calling, man, let's go ahead and jump on to the next subject here, because you know we don't use about half the show, which is more than we expected to use talking about the Super Bowl.
Definitely more than I wanted to use.
JJ, let's allow a cool here a little time to pun intended cool down a little bit.
Yeah.
And tell us what you're looking forward to this weekend for All-Star Weekend, man.
Man, listen, this NBA All-Star Weekend is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to the three-point contest. The Rising Stars is my favorite, though, because I want to look at the future. And there's a lot of guys that are in the Rising Stars game who I'm huge fans of. I think, you know, for a long time in the NBA, Duke players didn't do well. Jay Williams got hurt. Shane Battier was annoying, but he wasn't the same as in college. Boozer had some good years, but then he started to get hurt and started to fade. You didn't have too many guys for a long time. You had Trajan Langdon try to come in. J.J. Redick was a spot-up shooter. Like, you didn't have guys that looked like a guy that could really take it to that next level. And they got Paiolo now, who I absolutely love. I like so many of these guys in the Rising Stars game. My favorite that I'm literally most looking forward to watching is Alperen Sengun, because I think he is amazing. These international players are something else. Like, they are really skilled athletes who know how to make do more, even though they're not the most athletic or compared to the people that they're facing, which in his case is like the Embiids, the Domantas Sabonis and stuff. But I'm looking forward to that. Like the NBA, I get why people have issues with it, because I see the people games quitting early. You know, if you were down by 20 points with 4 minutes left, you wasn't conceding. You had a chance to come back because you could play defense. I get that. But there is so much talent in the NBA. There's so much prospects and so much so much of a beautiful future for these people. Tyrese Halliburton, you know, you got all these different guys out here. Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. All of these guys are in this league. But the Rising Stars game, if you want to see what you might be coming across for the next 5 or 10 years with your team or possibly get on your team, you need to watch the Rising Stars game tonight. That's one of my favorite things I'm looking forward to, because we know this All-Star game, we know they ain't going to be doing much. This is really just their weekend off. They're just going to be chilling, shooting threes. Joe going to probably shoot a 50-footer or something like that. They're going to do crazy stuff. But in the Rising Stars game, these guys look at it as a way to test themselves against each other, since they're going to be playing each other like this for years to come. So I like the Rising Stars. That's my favorite thing I'm looking forward to.
Okay. What about you, Cole?
Well, I love the celebrity game. Obviously, it's on now, so I have to go back and watch it, which will be fine. But I love the celebrity game. I like to see all the personalities. You always get a couple of WNBA stars that are there as well. So you get a lot of excitement there. You got DK Metcalf on one team. You got Calvin Johnson on one team. Excuse me, you got 21 Savage on one team.
You know, oh, he's back. Got,
yeah, he's playing on team Wade.
Good to have him back in the country.
Yeah, Orike Ogunbowale, which is a WNBA All-Star for the Dallas Wings, for those of you who follow the Wings, and then Diamond and Shields.
Phoenix Mercury.
Yeah, from Phoenix Mercury. Her dad, Delano DeShields, played in the MLB. Got a little dry throat here, y'all. But yes, I'm really excited about that. The Miz, I'm a WWE fan. The Miz is going to be in the game. Albert Pujols So you're getting some guys in there just to just be kind of interested.
Is Real
in
it, right? CP3 playing?
No, she's not playing.
But Lisa Leslie, Lisa Leslie be one of these the celebrity team, one of them.
She's coaching Team Ryan. Because he's just, it's the governor of Utah. He's like an honorary captain. But Lisa Leslie is actually coaching that team. But yeah, that's going to be an exciting game, you know, to watch. I think it's fun. It's going to be, you know, not a lot of defense. Only a couple of guys getting up in each other's face trying to make things happen. It always is. It's great to watch. then you have, of course, JJ did a great talking about the Rising Stars game. You don't need to spend the time to go back over something that's already been so eloquently spoken about. Then you think about, you get to Saturday, right? This is where things start to get interesting. You get to Saturday, you have the All-Star practice. So now that they put a practice on TV, on NBA TV. So if you have NBA TV, not practice. A game, I'm talking about practice. Practice.
But did you hear what they said? They said they're going to pick the reserves first because they don't want the idea of last pick person. Like, this is ridiculous.
So I'm going to take 1 minute. I know only 1 minute because of how much time we spend on the Eagles. The whole entire process for NBA All-Star Saturday night for the game itself, excuse me, on Sunday, is trash. Mm-hmm. It is trash juice. It is hot, flaming doo-doo turds. It's the worst thing they could have done, in my opinion. I know a lot of people love it, but let's be honest. You are going to watch the All-Star thing, whether they did this trash or not. You basically took all everything out of it, and now it's just a pickup game. So what's the point in even – so if you're going to do it that way, what's the point in even having conferences? Why not just elect the top 10 players? They could be 9 from the West. It doesn't matter because you're not even honoring any of that anymore anyway. So what difference does it make?
I don't –
and then the best people you want from the bench just make one big pool. What's the point? There's not an East and West game anymore, so why are we picking East and West?
I don't care if we got our best 10 straight years. East versus West was the best part of the All-Star game. Power and conference supremacy if you won. Like, what?
Yeah.
Now, the best part of Saturday for me, I love the All-Star Saturday night, but I'm an HBCU grad. So to see Grambling State and Southern University play in the HBCU Classic at 4 p.m., make sure y'all watch that. It's going to be on TNT, ESPN2, or NBA TV. So there's several different places you can watch it. That's going to be exciting. Bob Love and Willis Reed are going to be honorary captains. If you know your basketball history, you know who those two gentlemen are. If you don't, then, hey, it's time for you to lose Google. Then, of course, All-Star Saturday night, we've got the Skills Challenge. Team Antetokounmpo versus Team Jazz versus Team Rookie. Like I said, we got about 20 minutes left, so I'm not going into too much detail there. I'm excited about that. But y'all know one of the things I always love, because the slam dunk contest and me, we only had to talk about it. Y'all can talk about that if y'all want to. I'm not wasting my breath. But the three-point contest, that's always been my favorite, right? And I think that we might get a second straight year of a big man getting a win here with Lauri Markkanen, because I think Lauri Markkanen is going to light this bad boy up.
That man is bad. That man is improved, bruh. That man is...
I don't ever do this, JJ, but I'm going to do it this one time. I'm going to steal Stephen A. Smith. He's a bad man.
Oh, God. I just want to get Stephen A. one day and be like, could you speak normally for once? Dramatic. Like, no, every day. I didn't think it was even worth it. But just stop it, okay? I don't think there's nothing wrong with this. I think it's personally asinine, very egregious that you thought this was okay. Like, dude, calm down. Just say your point and move on.
Hey, he can't do that, man. He can't do that. He wouldn't be getting all that money if he just did that. But I do have to at least mention the slam dunk contest. And I know we'll break down the All-Star game a little bit more, but so this is how far the dunk contest has fallen.
Oh, God.
Participants: Trey Murphy III, Jericho Sims, Mac McClung from the Blue Coats, and Kenyon Martin Jr. If that does not scream to you, if I have anything else better I can do on Saturday night, whether that's watch a replay of a game, that's watch anime, a movie that's on TV. If you have any of those things, I personally recommend you do those instead of watching the slam dunk contest.
I'm watching Naruto.
I'm going to be watching Bleach.
And I know Steven got to chime in on that, but I would just like, I think we need a vintage. I think we need to bring back a 1998 or 2001 type dunk contest again, because we haven't seen windmills. We haven't seen tomahawks. We haven't seen any of these dunks in a long time. And I think we need to bring that vintage back, you know, because like you said, this thing is, that's why, as you notice, I didn't mention the All-Star game or nothing. I'm only focused on the people, like the rising stars and stuff like that, because everything else is just, I mean, it's their day off, but it's like this team, Giannis, team LeBron, I've never been a fan of this stuff. Never been a fan of this. I don't care if the East, we got our butts whooped for 15 years. I remember still being that kid playing NBA Live, and you get to pick the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, and you go back and forth for each other because you get to see who has the chop. I want to have the ability to say my conference has produced the better players to win this game this year. They can't do that anymore.
You know, I think for me, a big part of where the All-Star weekend has fallen off is it's just not very competitive, right? A lot of it's not. Like, you look at the All-Star game itself, and like you said, it's like, you know, these guys, are just they're just kind of out there, they're hanging out, they're all buddy-buddy, they're all friends. You know, my generation, we grew up watching guys who wanted to go out and beat each other. Right, every opportunity they had to say I'm better than you, they wanted it, right? And that's why we had those competitive contests. That's why, like you said, even if your conference that your team played in got beat every year, you still enjoyed the games because they were competitive. Guys were out there fighting. They were fighting for rebounds. They were actually out there driving to the hole. They're not just jacking up 75 three-pointers.
One-handed
what they do nowadays, right? You know, you got guys now, the most exciting thing you might see in the All-Star game is seeing if somebody might hit a full-court three-pointer. That's what passes as excitement in the All-Star game nowadays.
Who's going to shoot the longest three, Damian Lillard or Steph Curry?
Yeah. You know, the dunk contest, honestly, man, just do away with it. Because, JD, I'm going to tell you, honestly, I would love what you're talking about, right? Like, to go back to the old school, like, just classic.
Eight competitors, rounds, yeah. All the yeah. good stuff that used to happen. Yeah, this new stuff is trash.
Seeing guys actually display their actual athleticism versus using a bunch of props and everything else. But in this TikTok generation that we have now, man, they're not going to like that.
That's
They'll
what
be bored to death watching that.
But this is what I don't understand, because it's a lot harder to do a between the legs dunk than dunk over a car. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
But it doesn't look as cool, man.
Yeah, you're right. But it's like I don't agree, but I'm thinking like this. Okay, he jumped over the hood. It's not like you jumped over the top of the car. You jumped over the hood. Now, because I think that NBA All-Star game and NBA dunk contest with Blake Griffin is what started all of this craziness, in my opinion. Because that's mm-hmm. the first time I really remember seeing something that crazy. Because I was like, a car? What?
Yeah.
A car?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only other one that I thought would have been cool when Dwight Howard tried to dunk two basketballs at one time on the hoop that one time. He tried to dunk them both. I thought that was cool to try to do. But
You know, you also have to remember, like, we also saw Jordan. We saw Dominique, right? We saw Spud Webb. We saw, you know, D. Brown, Harold Miner, right? I mean, we saw Vince. Like, we saw those guys in the dunk contest, right? So, of course, we're going to be disappointed no matter what this is.
Yeah, you had definitely. I mean, but to your point, like, these guys. And I'm not harping on this dude, because I love the dude and I respect the dude in the world. And I do got to wrap up a little bit because I didn't realize what time it was. And I definitely enjoyed this. But I really wish LeBron would have did one. I really wish he would have did one. I'm not saying you got to do all of them. But every perennial star before his time, like the Wilkins, like you said, they all did one. Just one. Like, you could have did one. Because I think I would have loved to send him and Kobe, before he turned into 24, back when he was still 8, do on those first couple years when he was like in number eight, because that was back when Kobe was that yamming dude. He was yamming on dudes out there. Mm-hmm. I would have loved him to do at that time, but I think other stars looked at him like, well, he ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. Like, I really think that they followed his lead on that. And I'm like, nah, man. Like, I wanted to see you against a Vince Carter. I wanted to see you against a Stromile Swift, a Darvin Ham when he was playing, you know, big junkyard dog thing. I want to see you against these guys. I want to see these dunkers because honestly, we don't get them in game. We don't.
The best players don't any longer do the dunk contest. So without the marquee names, the game has lost its interest. Because guys like Aaron Gordon made their name, yeah, what he did in the dunk contest. But we need the names. And that's the fact. That's the fact. Yeah. It was a rite of passage for young guys to do the dunk contest in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. Mm-hmm. That stopped. The dunk contest has been trash ever since. So either go back and fix it or just go away with it. Because what you have now, I have no interest in. I'd rather see 3-on-3. Basketball than that.
True. And if you're not going to do LeBron, Ja Morant, you need to do it. If you're not going to do it, Ja Morant, you need to do it. Because you're already
Them boys ain't going to do it.
I mean, probably not, but I'm saying, like, bro, you need to do it. If you're going to
do it, you might as well just do it with it, man. Just
they're not going to do it. They've gotten out of that. But I know you got to go soon, JJ, but we got the G League next up game. Have a bunch of up and coming talent that's going to be early on Sunday at 3 p.m. Those one of those games where you kind of like, all right, we'll see what we get because there's a lot of G League guys, and I know a lot of people probably don't watch the G League, but there's a lot of really good players that are two-way players or G League players. So I'm excited to see, you know, what they'll be able to do.
And the NBA fan is critical because you can't sit here and get mad at teams and stuff for building super teams and not developing their talent by not watching developmental league players playing a game that they might be coming to NBA at some point in time in their life. But I gotta go, guys. I'll talk to y'all in a little bit. I appreciate
you hopping on, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
All right, you guys. I'll see y'all in a bit. Next time.
Yes, sir.
See, yeah, man, you know, when I look at, you know, the overall festivities, you know, the Rising Stars to me is the most exciting thing, right? Because, like JJ was just kind of alluding to there, is really, to me, like the equivalent of watching college basketball or college football, right? It's getting to see, like, that next generation, getting to see those young guys. Because, you know, especially in the NBA, you got a lot of guys that come out of college early. They're still developing when they get to the league. So it's fun to get to see those guys kind of go against each other. It's kind of almost like watching college, but like you're watching the best of college play against each other. And, you know, for me, that game is always a lot of fun. The three-point contest, like you said, it's kind of crazy that's actually overtaken the dunk contest. But, you know, that's definitely what has happened.
Yeah, man. I mean, because names still want to shoot, right? You got Curry in there a bunch of years. A lot of guys, if you get invited to the three-point contest, you're going to take it.
Yeah.
You get invited to the dunk contest, guys are not going, you know? Right. And it's sad, but that's what the league has come down to. And I did want to touch on the player pool and the draft process for the All-Star game.
See, I was laughing when you brought up the draft process earlier because I know, and anybody that's been listening to our show for a while knows how much you hate the idea of the draft to begin with. So the fact that they actually found a way to make it worse.
So this is now it's Trash. That's T-R-A-C-H-Y-E. Trash is what we're getting now. So because someone's feelings might be hurt, the backups are getting drafted first. So let me tell you why this is the dumbest thing ever. If you're going to pick the starters last, guess what? Somebody's still going to be the last pick.
So I guess it hurts your feelings less if you're the last starter.
You're still the last person that's picked, bro.
You're the worst starter. I guess that makes you feel better. I don't know.
But so here, and this is what I find so crazy about it. You're picking him first, but guess what? Someone's still being picked last. It's still happening. There's going to be a guy that's going to be on, I don't know whose team, I don't know who's picking or whatever, but there's going to be a guy either on Team LeBron or Team Giannis that didn't get picked by LeBron or Giannis. Mm-hmm. There's going to be two people. I don't know. I'd have to read how they're going to do the draft because I really try to not read too much into it because it starts to upset me because it's so stupid. But, you know, it is what it is. That's what we have. I do believe we need to go back to – I mean, sometimes things are not broke, but we fix them, and we break them by fixing them. I get – and this is the All-Star game period. We need to go back to four quarters. You play through four quarters. If you want to still do the things that were brought in as far as, you know, whoever's up in each quarter, you can still track the points per quarter, and, you know, you can still award each charity based on that. But let's be 100% here. The fourth quarter thing, this is like you're taking 3-on-3 basketball and you're bringing it to the All-Star game, but you're playing 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. You should go back to you have 15-minute quarter, or if you want to do a 32-minute, you know, half or whatever, something 8 plus 24, like something to honor Kobe, I get it. But if one team's way up, the other team doesn't have a chance, you know, and without a clock, it's trash. It's trash. 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 Stop making the game trash and make it fun for people to watch. You're giving us the two marquee events that you're giving us after tonight is a trash dunk contest and then a trash game on Sunday. I'm going to watch it, but I'm still going to be thinking it's trash the whole time. I'm going to watch it, you know. I'm not watching that dunk contest, though, but I will watch the All-Star game.
Yeah, you definitely want to watch the dunk contest.
But the format, man, you just – things are not broke, but people want to fix them so bad. It was cool to do a year or two because, you know, the Kobe thing happened. We had COVID, blah, blah, blah. It's time to revert, bro. It's time to go back to the regular thing. Let's go back to East versus West. Let's go back to, you know, and if one conference is just dominant, it is what it is. But the way these players bounce around now, it doesn't even matter.
So here's what I would say. If you're going to go so far as to do all this, you know, stuff with not wanting to pick people last, whatever, here's a crazy idea. Why don't we just go back to East versus West and just you make the team or you don't?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Just be done with it.
East versus West. You're on the East. You're on the West. Boom. Let's rock it. Whichever one is better. And then put some odds into it. We'll make it where they want to play. If your team wins, your conference is the home team for the playoffs. For the NBA championship, I mean.
Yeah. Yep. That would definitely make people want to play a little bit more. Especially the teams that are actually feeling like they have a good chance of actually being in the finals.
And delusional as a lot of these teams are, all their players are there, probably feel that way.
Yes, this is true. And, you know, I mean, like you look at the Western Conference this year, I mean, every team all the way up to about 14 is still within contention, you know, thanks to the play-in tournament.
Oh man! But
you know my feelings on the play-in tournament. I feel about the play-in tournament about like you feel about this All-Star draft.
Yeah, I would not be upset if you did away with the play-in tournament. I'm fine that it's there, but I would not ever argue against it being just done. I know why they're doing it. It's not horrible, but it's definitely not a good idea either.
The play-in tournament. And keep in mind, this might be the second year that the Lakers might benefit from the play-in tournament.
But do you really benefit if you're in the play-in tournament?
I mean, I'm saying in terms of getting into the playoffs.
Yeah,
I see. But to me, the play-in tournament is the mystery juice that runs out of trash bags.
Mm.
That's what the play-in tournament is. Trash juice.
Trash juice. Trash. But it'll be entertaining because you'll have a lot of great athletes in the All-Star game. But I do think we need to – I mean, we have the Kobe Bryant MVP, so that's a way to honor Kobe. And, you know, I understand that that's why some of the things are changed, but it was cool for a year or two. But it's time to revert back to what's more of a quality situation, and that's not it.
I will say this, though, in regards to the Kobe MVP trophy. If you are going to go out there and actually play competitively and you're actually out there playing hard and you win that award, that's honoring Kobe. But if you go get that award to somebody that's out there just having fun, shooting up a bunch of threes, not really taking it very seriously, not being competitive, and they just happen to be the person who scored the most points, I feel like you're disrespecting Kobe's legacy.
You have some valid thoughts there, sir.
Because Kobe, sure enough, wasn't out there taking it easy in no All-Star games.
I would 100% agree with that, sir. And sticking to the All-Star theme, man, I would like to say big ups to all the guys that did make the All-Star team, Rising Stars Challenge, you know, three-point contest. And I love the integration that they're doing with the you know, with the HBCU game every year to give the HBCUs a highlight, man. That's untapped potential, man. I think a lot of times the guys in that particular arena don't get seen. So having that game dedicated to them gives them an opportunity to be seen, which allows them to be who they were. Now, I did miss the press conference earlier for the Hall of Fame. Were you able to catch any of that?
I didn't get to see it, but I did see an article. I thought they were actually announcing who was going in, but they only announced the finalist.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll talk about that once they...
So we'll talk about that once we know who's getting in. But, I mean, a couple of those names, they're pretty obvious who will go in, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that. You know, I just... Very excited, man. I love... So, this is the part of the NBA season, All-Star break and after, where everything picks up. This is where you get the casuals, you get the guys who've been focusing on football, like myself, and other people really invested. Like, obviously, Denver Nuggets fan. I know the Nuggets are the best team in the West. The third record overall, two games back of the best record in the NBA right now. We have the number one candidate for MVP, third year in a row. Your reigning and defending back-to-back could be three-time MVP, only been done twice in the history of the NBA up until now. But I'll digress until we get closer and we know that that's going to happen. But I'm just excited about where the season is going. Memphis is looking real good. New Orleans might be getting Zion back. If he can stay healthy and not be part of the street clothes brigade, the team's a lot better. Right. That's about like saying AD stay healthy all year, right? But, you know, the Eastern Conference is very tight, right? And the West is honestly top-heavy. There's a couple of teams at the very top. But there's some competition between it. There's no, like I say, there's no team that's just ran away from everybody really in either conference. I thought we had that with Boston for a while, but then the Bucks went on the 12-game winning streak. And now they're a half a game back, you know? Philadelphia is still sitting in third. Cleveland's in fourth. You got the Nets still hanging around at fifth, and you got the Knicks at sixth. So your top six there, pretty solid teams, right? I think we'll get some movement in the bottom. But those are the teams right now. If play ended today, that would be in the top. You know, and then you look at the Western Conference, man. You know, we talked about the Denver Nuggets being number one, 41-18. They've got a little distance. They're five games up on Memphis, who's 35-22. Yep. Sacramento's in third at 32-25. Clippers in fourth, 33-28. Phoenix, 32-28 as well. Well, 32-28, not 33. In fifth, and then Dallas at 31-29. What I think is interesting about the West is, you know, according to all the pundits, you know, Denver may as well just lay down, and Memphis and Sacramento and the Clippers and Dallas. Everybody just needs to lay down and allow King Kevin to ascend to his throne. Fortunately for all those other teams out West, you know, you actually have to play the games to win. You don't just get it because you have a new big three that's really a big one and a half Because let's be honest, Durant is the only guy that's probably going to stay healthy because he's already had his injury for the season. You know, Chris Paul is nowhere near the player he was. And some people try to say a big four with DeAndre Ayton. But if you put DeAndre Ayton's name in any type of big anything situation besides big man, you're disrespecting the best players that ever played this game. And DeAndre Ayton has talent, but it's unrealized talent at this point. He's very inconsistent. He's not going to help that team unless he becomes more consistent. And I don't see you needing more out of him because of the things that you've had to trade to acquire Kevin Durant, him being more consistent. So I'll just say, you know, Phoenix has an opportunity because you have Durant, who's probably going to be the best player on the court most nights that he hits the court. But he's not a reigning back-to-back MVP, is he? He's not. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, man, this time of year is definitely interesting because usually this is the point where you start getting guys get moved around at the trade deadline, stuff happens, the buyout market. We start to really kind of get to see what teams are going to be for the rest of the season, right? And it's kind of this mad dash for a lot of these teams to find chemistry, get guys playing together, and really kind of make this big push. And I think this season in particular is going to be fun to watch down the stretch because both conferences are so competitive in terms of those playoff spots. So, you know, I mean, I think you've got some definite favorites in each conference to win. But in terms of just guys getting into the playoffs, you know, our teams getting into the playoffs, there's actually a whole lot of competition. So, like, once you get, like, in, you know, around five or six seeds, like, the difference between five and six seeds versus, like, 11th and 12th seeds even really isn't that great. So it's going to be a lot of fun to just kind of watch down the stretch just to see all these teams jockeying for position. You're going to have a lot of movement in the standings. But, you know, the question then becomes, can any of those teams really knock off the top dogs? You know, and we'll see, you know, how the matchups go. Because as we talk about every single year, the playoffs in the NBA are about matchups. Sometimes a really good team gets the wrong matchup.
Yeah, I don't want Golden State in the first round. I don't want Golden State in the first round. Yeah,
I think that's understandable. Yeah,
I wouldn't mind meeting them later on once we've had a chance to get some playoff wins and, you know, build up a little momentum. I mean, I wouldn't run away from it, but if I have my choice, you can give me New Orleans, Minnesota, or Oklahoma City versus Golden State. If you're talking about the play-in candidates now, who would then slot into that seventh or eighth spot. But it's still exciting. You know, Utah, Portland, and the Lakers are the next ones. And like you said, the 13 teams still have a solid chance. And the thing is, at one point, Utah was the best team in the league, right? Mm-hmm. Now they have 29 wins.
At one point, New Orleans was too.
Yeah, New Orleans
and best team in the West.
Yeah, they were. So, but you know who's been right there the whole time?
The Denver Nuggets.
Yes, sir.
And who had the Denver Nuggets have playing for them?
Your reigning and defending back-to-back, possible third time in history, most valuable player, Nikola Jokic, the triple-double machine. That's who, sir.
I figured I'd let you have that one since I, you know, I robbed you of the whole, you know, intergalactic, intercontinental, transatlantic champions thing at the beginning of the show, you know. we get off to a late start tonight, so, you know, I was trying to go ahead and get us into it. But real quick, just for anybody that did not get to see it, the Class of 23 finalists for the Hall of Fame, Dwayne Wade, Greg Popovich, Tony Parker, Dirk Nowitzki, Pau Gasol. That's your NBA list.
They should all get in.
Yeah. Then you've got Gene Keady, Purdue men's basketball head coach.
He should get in.
Then you have David Hickson, Amherst College basketball, men's basketball coach.
He should probably get in, too. It's going to be hard.
Olympic gold medalist and collegiate champion point guard Jennifer Easy. Texas A&M women's basketball head coach Gary Blair. A name I know you're familiar with, as I'm assuming most people are. Six-time WNBA All-Star point guard and Las Vegas Aces head coach Becky Hammon.
It's obvious as it comes.
Kansas women's basketball head coach Marion Washington.
It's going to be hard.
And Gene Bess, the winningest college in college basketball history, or winningest coach in college basketball history, from Three Rivers Community College, men's basketball coach.
It's a lot of good candidates. I wish there were more WNBA candidates this year, but that's...
So we will find out April 1st who is actually going to get in. That's when the announcement will be made, is April 1st.
Conveniently, right after March Madness.
It will be from Houston, the home of this year's NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Final Four.
It's a wise place to do that from.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, convenience factor since you brought it up, you know.
Hey, man. Who knows why I brought it up? Maybe it was a soft lob to you. Who knows?
Maybe it was, man. Who knows? Never know. So, yeah, man. So, you know, obviously going forward, lots of basketball is going to really kind of be the focus. College basketball, you know, we're going to be coming up on March Madness here soon. You know, won't be too long before we're into the NBA Finals. Then, of course, you know, we'll have NFL free agency, the draft. So this thing's not slowing down anytime soon, man. It's about to crank up.
And do not forget, every year, playcollegesportstalk.com/live, your live home for NFL draft coverage from the very first pick to the very last pick on day one. Make sure y'all here. I know it's NBA All-Star weekend, so a lot of people are not going to catch us live. Shout out to Billy V for catching us live and, you know, interacting with us in the comments. Definitely appreciate it. But for those of you that do catch the replay, for those of you who see, who listen to us and are not able to see the show, just want to let you know, hey, Friday nights, 7:30 p.m., you can always catch us live. But ain't nothing wrong with those replays either. Just absorb the content and feel the power.
It's a new day.
Yes, it is.
Play callers. Yes, it is. But yeah, man. I do just want to add, you know, you plugged our annual draft coverage show that is live. I just want to add that that is not only live, but it is the best live coverage. We've had other people say it. We're not just tooting on the horn here, man. We've actually had people say they would rather watch us than actually watch the TV because we're more entertaining.
That's not hard to do, though. So.
If the people say it, it must be true. So,
our community wants to rock with us. We appreciate it. Y'all know we'll have some cameos from some of our Matchup Madness brethren on there as well. So be on the lookout, man. A lot of big things coming for the play callers.
Yeah, man. And y'all, you know, y'all make sure y'all tune every week, man, because, you know, we have one of the smartest, most in tune basketball people on the planet sitting over here next to me right now. My co-host knows his stuff when it comes to basketball, man. Like, you know, I'm pretty knowledgeable on basketball, but compared to this guy, man, I'm an amateur, bro. So
kind. So such kind words.
The football season, I rock with it, but you know.
Hey, man, I let him have it in football. You can't be the best at everything, man. You gotta let him have something.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Hey, we'll have some other guests, like, you know, JJ joined us tonight. We'll have some other guests throughout the season, bringing in some other people who love basketball, man. So we're gonna be talking a lot about that.
Absolutely. But,
man, final thoughts tonight.
football's over. Win or loss, that was going to be sad because, got to admit, man, football season is just different, bro. It's just different.
I'm gonna look forward to checking out the XFL and the USFL just to see if they're worth watching or not.
And don't forget Major League Football and some other ones as well. I can put you on to those. I have a gentleman, Sam Shady, Shady Sports Network, shout out. They go hard on everything football. I'll be doing some things with them about indoor football and the XFL as well. Just, you know, getting my knowledge up, man, getting my versatility, you know, so Yo. On it.
Absolutely, man. Well, man, appreciate everybody tuned in, whether you're live tonight or if you're checking us out on replay because you were too busy watching the All-Star game. Totally understandable. We still appreciate you. We'll see everybody next Friday, 7:30 p.m. EST.
Let's go.